Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of The Neil Haley Show that's syndicated all over the world, and Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface, that's on Libsyn and all syndicated channels as well. And I'm always excited about the simulcast, but it's because Wynn brings us COVID-19 breaking news. And this is not CNN. And, you know, that's the thing I love about the show is that we get information before anyone else talks about it. QAnon, certain COVID-19 treatments. We talked about hydroxychloroquine before anyone else did. So I'm excited to welcome to the program my co-host, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Neil. So for my audience and for Neil's audience, it's a pleasure to have you listening to the show today. It's my sincere desire for you to get something from it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of coronavirus pandemic, safer. I am Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction and Share Your Mission is the longest-running single-hosted and produced spiritually-based radio internet talk show in the country. We've been broadcasting continuously for the last 20 years. And primarily, we started out with sharing your mission in life and how important that is. Then we brought on how we can get over 30 different addictive behaviors. And now we are doing investigative journalism to bring you truth below the surface, what you won't hear on the major news media and other platforms. So today we are going to do the second in a series of podcasts with Dr. Mark Hayden. He's a medical doctor from the University of Alabama. And in the last segment, we reviewed his biography and talked briefly about, at the end of the program, about the role of Pepcid and melatonin in COVID-19 treatment. In this part two, we're going to talk about the concept of intestinal inoculation as a preferable alternative to intramuscular vaccination, which we've been waiting on forever. And we may get it, we may not, but of the 300 different types of vaccination programs, Dr. Hayden is going to tell you why this is not preferable. So, Mark, it's nice to have you back on the program again.
It's great to be here.
So I would like for you to start off by a brief review of your concept of inoculation, and you can define it, as a preferable treatment for COVID-19, as opposed to waiting around for a intramuscular vaccination.
I graduated from UAB in 1986, and UAB is involved in some research, and we'll go over that later. I do want to make sure that I'm not working for UAB at the present time. And most of the research I've done has been sponsored on my own based on virus that was community acquired. We wanted to talk today about the concept of inoculation as preferable to intramuscular vaccines. I'll give you a little background. When we call an intramuscular vaccine, we call that a shot. And we're all used to taking our kids to get the measles, mumps, rubella shots when they're little kids. The little kids scream because a needle goes in their arm. Those are IM shots. When the COVID pandemic came out, the government had a lot of money and they gave out billions of dollars for all these vaccines, and almost every last one of them, almost all of them, were intramuscular vaccines. That's where you get a shot in the arm. And billions, literally billions of dollars of taxpayer money were spent on these shots. But there has been no proof to date that those shots actually protect the lungs of people who are inhaling the virus down to their deep lungs. So the efficacy of all the intramuscular vaccines has not been proven. And what you've not seen candidly from anybody at the CDC is we've proved that the intramuscular vaccines actually work. And that has not been the case. But what we do know is in countries like Sweden that less restrictive, no severe lockdowns, that those people have acquired largely immunity. And in Sweden, the virus got everywhere. It got on their food, and those people acquired an immune defense. But what I want you to take home today is COVID disease is really a scenario. It's a scenario where you can inhale a particle into deep in your lungs and it can multiply. And then you exhale it up to your mouth and swallow it. And then it reaches your intestinal tract. And when it reaches your intestinal tract, that's when you really mount your best immune defense. So the concept of inoculation is taking, instead of exposing our lungs, our deep lung tissue, to the virus by accident, let's just go ahead and expose our intestines so that we can develop an immune response. We actually have live virus in vaccines that are taken orally. Polio, you can actually take an oral polio virus, which is a live virus, or it's attenuated, but it's still live, and you can take it by mouth. Well, it turns out that even though the listeners have many of them, perhaps even large portion of them have already eaten some SARS virus on their food. I like takeout. I eat takeout all the time, and so do many of the listeners. People at the takeout place have SARS. They breathe it out on your food, and guess what? They're not coughing in your face. They're not breathing on you, but the virus gets on your food, and you eat it. But the good news is when you're eating that virus, some of that virus is making it to your small intestine. And so what happens is you're exposing your small intestine to small amounts of virus in the community, and gradually you're picking up immunity. And that is one of the explanations why the death rate keeps going down. And that actually worked. That's a form of herd immunity, if you want. That explains why even though Sweden had a second spike of cases, they're not having a second spike of death. So basically, when we talk about infection, if we're going to be exposed to SARS virus, let's make sure that exposure is to our intestinal tract, not to our muscles. Because just shooting it in your muscles has never been proven to protect your lungs. And the idea that we can just sit around and wait till an intramuscular vaccine works, you may be waiting forever, because intramuscular vaccines don't work.
Well, that's a great explanation. And I want to say that you've done significant work with inoculation, and that everybody needs to know about it as an alternative method of dealing with the pandemic. And if you're listening today, please pass this information along to all your friends and neighbors and family members, and they can hear Mark talk about it on my podcast, which is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. He's spelling Libsyn, Libsyn, no spaces, lowercase. And tell as many people as you can so that they can become aware of truth just below the surface. Now, Mark, you were the original person that developed a process of gastrointestinal inoculation. And this has not been in the media. What we're doing now is the opportunity to spread this word to the world, and they're not going to get it from ABC News every day. So let's talk about some other things. First, I think that you want to make a disclaimer. that people don't live longer, and that you have an appointed day to die, and whatever that day is, it's not going to make any difference what you do. That's going to be the day. And that people won't live longer or shorter depending on whether or not they get COVID or not. So tell us your basic disclaimer about what you're saying to the people with this breaking news.
The goal of medicine is not to guarantee people they will live longer. Lord, teach me to number my days. It is appointed unto man once to die. We have a limited number of days of life, but we want every day to be as healthy as possible. I don't want to be sick, and you don't want to be sick, because we have responsibilities. We have people to care for. The goal of medicine is not to make idle promises that people are going to live, add days to their life. It is to try to avoid illness. And in my practice, I practiced ER for many years. I pronounced many people deceased, and I treated tens of thousands of people over a 30-year period. Not one of those people was ever promised that they would live one day longer. My goal with them was very simple. I wanted to add health to their days, not necessarily days to their life. Each of us needs to strive to have a purposeful, meaningful life and pray that God will give us the health, yes, and the opportunity to have meaningful days.
Absolutely. So, I mean, based on your thought process, a vaccine's not the answer. The way the inoculation vaccine, it sounds like. You think that that's just going to end up being just like the flu shot, and we'll still be wearing masks, and we'll still be practicing social distancing, and nothing will end it if we go that route.
Neil, I think that's an excellent issue. I think what you're likely to see after this election, the CDC will probably at some point announce that they're going to try an oral vaccine, much like an oral polio. So you'll see big pharmaceuticals come out with a oral vaccine. And if an oral vaccine comes out, Neil, I'll tell you, if they use a live virus in an oral vaccine, I would recommend my family members take it. It's how you present that antigen to the immune system. Now, originally what happened in the United States and across the world was there was 100 vaccines, and every last one of them initially was in the muscle. And so that's what got the funding, and that's what got the attention. Now what you hear is, oh, guess what? We want to stop our trial. Oh, guess what? Hey, they've had a chance to prove that it was effective. None of them have actually come out and said, this person can inhale SARS virus and the intramuscular vaccine protects them. The reason they can't say that is because it doesn't. And after spending literally billions of dollars, they're very reluctant to say, oops, we made a mistake. Well, guess what? They did make a mistake. But they need to get over it and get on with it. You're not hearing candor from the CDC. That's not coming out. And really, that needs to be addressed. So inoculation, where you actually take live virus that's in the community and you decide, hey, guess what? I don't mind if somebody has virus and they breathed it on my food. That's not going to hurt you. What will hurt you, very likely, is inhaling it. But if it reaches your intestinal tract before it reaches your lungs, then your intestinal tract will help mount an immune defense that'll protect your lungs. So the exposure to your intestines will actually protect your lungs. And that can be done through community-acquired virus if you're in the same house with your wife and you're eating her food. Or it could be acquired from you may see the vaccine companies come out with a oral vaccine. And that if they do, based on all my experience, an oral vaccine as a capsule, I'd recommend my in-laws take it.
Mark.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
An oral vaccine. I'd like that because I don't want to go get a shot.
I'm going to talk to Mark about nasal type of inoculation that they're doing at UAB in another podcast. And we're not going to talk about that today, but keep coming back for the latest on that. So let me ask you, Mark, you spent months and months studying inoculation of your intestines with SARS-CoV-2. And then you actually inoculated yourself and later your family to prove that it was safe and that it could give you immunity. So tell us about where you're at with respect to passing this message on and what the message should be with respect to when a person hears this new information, what should they do about it?
When my family was aware of my research and they saw me inoculate my intestines, they saw that I only had one loose stool and a few 10, 15 minutes of stomach cramps. I had no other symptoms. I had no fever, no chills, no body aches. A lot of the IM vaccines, which are not even effective, caused fever, chills, and body aches. I didn't have any of that. And yet, I was able to grow it in my intestinal tract and develop immunity. My family, my wife, and my son that are educated, they witnessed that. And they, on their own, chose to inoculate themselves. I didn't tell them they had to do it. They chose to do it because they knew that it works. And hey, can anybody stop you from any American from being exposed if they want? No, they can't. The government doesn't have the resources to stop you from being exposed to SARS-CoV-2. However, if you expose your lungs, you are at risk of severe disease. If you expose your intestinal tract, you will have a little mild viral gastroenteritis, which is a little bit of stomach cramps, maybe one little loose stool, maybe two, but it will be virtually nothing compared to a respiratory infection.
Wow.
Yes. Does that make sense, Neil?
Yeah. It makes absolute sense. And
that's, Neil, that's how we're getting so many asymptomatic cases. Neil, if you eat takeout food, those people in the restaurant, some of them get infected. If they're making food for 500 people a day, that food is going out to lots of people. They're not inhaling that virus. They're eating it.
And it's not affecting them.
That's right. A lot of them don't. The younger people have such a good immune system, they may not even have a single stomach cramp. That's right. And yet they're developing a form of immunity to the virus. So if somebody comes up to me and they says, I'm going to cough on your food and then, or breathe on your food and give it to you, or I'm going to breathe in your face, Dr. Hayden, I'll say breathe on my food any day. Now, once I'm immune, I can have them breathe in my face all day long. And I know I'm immune because I actually had it growing. I had the virus isolated growing in my colon and in my intestines. But I'm not afraid once I'm fully immune of having people breathe it in my face all day long. And in fact, if you want to pay me, when I see people that are COVID positive for checkup, I go into them to counsel them. I go in without a mask. And I tell them, the good news is, once you've got it, you're over it. You won't have to wear a mask all the time as a protection for yourself. I tell the people I encounter with COVID, with the SARS virus in their mouth, I tell them, once they're exposed, once they're over it and can't transmit it, they can always wear a mask to just be politically correct, a member of the team, or there's a lot of facilities you can't walk into without a mask. But they don't need that for protection. They can stop worrying about it because they've been exposed. And so, but exposure should be the safest possible exposure. And when you think about exposure, all exposure is not created equal. Lung exposure is dangerous. GI exposure to your gut, intestines, is safe.
So, Mark, you could get exposed with a family member, or you could get exposed from somebody in the community, and they have a slightly different things that we could talk about. But what you could recommend today is within a family unit where you're eating after each other, is it is safe and effective to eat food that is passed around, or if saliva gets on your food, that's safe. Or if you have a positive person in your family, you could put a little of their saliva in a gel capsule and swallow it. And all those things are safe and will give you immunity from SARS. Is that right?
Almost all those things are very safe. As long as you do not inhale that virus, you will not get severe COVID or really any significant disease.
Well, how are we going to make sure that we could do more testing of this? What's your goal for that?
I think you're going to see, Neil, what you're going to see is in just a month or two, you're going to see one of the big pharma companies come out with a oral live virus or oral attenuated virus in a capsule to swallow. The tragedy is that was actually presented I presented those ideas to the U.S. government. And initially they chose to go with their friends, Big Pharma, that were really into big intramuscular injections. And they delayed that oral virus for months and months, even after I had talked to the government repeatedly about it. So, and you won't hear about that. It'll be done probably quietly. They'll introduce, oh, guess what? We 6 months from now or 3 months, they'll come out and say, hey, now we got a capsule that's got live virus or attenuated virus. And hey, just swallow this capsule and you'll do just fine. And here's one of the other things you'll see, Neil. And here's one of my predictions. When you swallow that capsule, you're not going to have the body aches from shooting it into your muscle. That was just a This idea that you take an IM vaccine and shoot it in people's muscle, they get fever and body aches for a day. That is just plain unpleasant, unhealthy. That is a no-no. And that's not to mention the people having severe side effects. That's not going to work. But, you know, things get momentum. After billions of dollars are spent, so much is invested, people don't like to come out and admit the truth, but that's the truth.
So, Mark.
Yes.
What you could recommend is within your family unit, you're sitting down, eating food and everything, passing it around, that this is a safe and effective way of getting immunity from the...
Absolutely. And here's what I would do. Let's say, knowing everything I know now, if I'm going to Thanksgiving with a family member and I want to, and Thanksgivings are very important family times. They're times in which they say we're a family unit. We live together. Or if your spouse has the virus, don't leave the house if they're your spouse. Instead, you can take some of their saliva, put it in a capsule, and swallow it and inoculate your own intestines. And you can do that every 8 hours. And sooner or later, about 3 days later, you should experience a brief episode of viral gastroenteritis, which is like a stomach cramps and maybe one loose stool. And once that happens, 3 days later, don't take any more of their saliva. If that's your immediate household member, if that's your wife, I kiss my wife all the time. Any virus that she has, I'm going to get it. So realistically, I don't have to worry about other viruses if I'm already kissing them. So if the person that you kiss already has the virus, don't stop kissing that person. Instead, just put their saliva in a capsule and swallow it 3 times a day for 3 days. If you get a little viral gastroenteritis, a little loose stool on the third day, that's when it reaches your stomach and you don't have to take any more.
And one thing that we ought to say is that if you're going to do that to get this immunity into your small intestine, there's a safe drug that you can take, and it's called Pepcid, and you can get it over the counter, and the dose is about 80 milligrams 3 times a day. It will cut down the stomach acid and allow the inoculation to get past the stomach.
That's correct. So your stomach acid reduces the viral load that reaches the intestines, and the Pepcid helps more of the virus actually reach the small intestine. That's the reason why that taking Pepcid during an acute infection will actually help auto-inoculate yourself. You know, when we say inoculation of the digestive tract, actually, almost everybody who gets SARS in their mouth is actually swallowing that virus, and it's going down to their intestinal tract. Everybody is really inoculating their intestinal tract. But you want that virus to reach your intestines alive so it can reproduce and your body can mount an immune response. So by far, it is generally safe to take a capsule with saliva that you swallow 3 times a day from somebody who has SARS-CoV-2 if they're an immediate member of your family. So yes, you know, it is safe to do in general.
So the concern I have, Stephen, let's just say I went on Twitter with this tirade right now and said, you know what, yes, we have another option. Would Twitter ban me? Would Facebook ban me? Would they fact check me? This is a question I'm asking because, again, this is what the battle is when we're trying to come up with an alternative way to treat COVID-19.
I would like to say that you already know the answer to that question.
Not necessarily. Stephen, have you tried that? What's happened? Have you gotten the backlash?
I have not put it on Twitter, and I have not. I have put it out on YouTube. And in fact, on YouTube, there is an actual video of me swallowing a capsule of saliva that has the SARS-CoV-2. So that's actually been done on YouTube, believe it or not.
You should tweet that on YouTube, your YouTube link, and then on Facebook, and yet find somebody like a Breitbart or somebody else and see what the heck they do. The concern I have is, and when this is the thing, we're coming up with all these great ways to treat COVID-19. We could just open up the country, wear masks, 6 feet social distance, make sure that we're pretty careful, and go back to normal again. Go back to our normal days, normal situation because of some of the treatments we have. But they don't want to do this.
That's right. They don't. The powers that be, it's really a form of social control. They want to control the people. It's not just about healthcare. It's about having control of people. There are solutions. And historically, inoculation was done before vaccination was present. Inoculation for smallpox was done for hundreds of years before vaccines were available. And yet, here we are again. The CDC would not even consider inoculation. They didn't fund it with $1. Not $1 went to inoculation, even though it was the historical answer before vaccination. What the CDC did fund with billions and billions was the traditional intramuscular vaccines, vaccines that will not work, vaccines that will have severe side effects. So, yes. And then do they come out and say, oh, guess what? We were so cozy with the big industry and big pharma, and we wanted to control the American people. They won't tell you that. But that's exactly what went on.
So we know that most of the information that we get from the media, CDC, WHO, and the like is not going to be favorable to something that will stop the pandemic. There have been more than one things that would stop the pandemic, and you can't get any traction because there are people and organizations that don't want the pandemic to be stopped for political reasons or for whatever. And so you just have to see where the truth is and to try to get people to understand the truth. And that's what we're trying to do here with this program.
Absolutely. And the concern I have with is, let's just say we wake up and Joe Biden's president on November 3rd. He wins. Will they reduce restrictions and open back the country, up back the country again with social distancing, the Democratic governors, right? And masks, and kind of ignore everything that they were doing in these restrictions, or they still want to control the rest of the time? Time will tell. And that's, we're going to find out very soon in a couple weeks if we're going to be in very restricted times till they get the vaccine they want to control us or not. And that's why we have a show like this one, Truth Just Below the Surface, for sure.
Well, Neil, you've heard Joe Biden say that if the scientists, meaning Fauci and his bunch and everything, say that we ought to go into lockdown, they're going to do that. And they've already said they're going to do that. But in Sweden, where they didn't have a lockdown and didn't have all these restrictions and everything, they got herd immunity, and their death rate is considerably lower than it was in the United States. So can we not learn from history? Can we not learn from other countries? We have to continue this thing that they're going to try to get us to do that's not effective? That's my question.
Hey, Neil, when I take the capsule on YouTube, it's an enteric-coated capsule. Literally, Amazon has like a, you can buy 500 enteric-coated capsules for maybe $15. So if you take one capsule every 8 hours, that for 3 days, that's 9 capsules. It's a total of less than 20 cents worth of capsules. And if in those capsules you have saliva that contains SARS-CoV-2, it is highly likely that you will achieve inoculation. And if you achieve inoculation, you may know it usually on the third day after starting the capsules, because you'll have a brief episode of loose stool or stomach cramps. And that should be about the limit of it in most cases. Now, I would only collect samples from people that are healthy, like your wife. I certainly wouldn't try to collect a sample of saliva from somebody who has sores in their mouth or swollen lymph nodes. Most of the diseases that you can catch by kissing are fairly benign. In other words, young people catch mono. However, when young people go to college, they kiss a lot of people often. They don't come down with any fatal diseases. They can get herpes of the mouth if they don't inspect the mouth of the person they're kissing. So, you know, there are a few minor viruses that can be caught from saliva, but most of the things are not that serious at all.
Can I interject that if you're not inoculating yourself from a family member that you know not to have other illnesses like herpes, cold sores, whatever, then you go to your family doctor and see if that person can be examined. You know, that you don't just rush out and take anybody's saliva.
And literally, you could take acyclovir for any type of the herpes group anyway. So acyclovir and take a little antibiotics along with your samples. And that, if they did have a bacterial infection, that would help protect you. And I did that. Some of my samples came from donors that were not my family members. And I swallowed saliva from probably at least 3-4 people that were not family members. And so I took some acyclovir, which is as well as some Augmentin, which is like amoxicillin and clavulanic acid. So I took some antibiotics and acyclovir, which is an antiviral for herpes. But if you have a healthy donor or a donor that already, if they're your spouse, if you eat food after them, you're going to get their viruses anyway. So you're not exposing yourself to anything new except the SARS-CoV virus.
All right. And if you're doing that for up to 10 days, you should be on Pepcid.
Yes. By taking the Pepcid, more of it will reach your small intestine. Should you stay on Pepcid for a month at a time? I would not. There is a shortage sometime of the Pepcid, and you need to make sure you have the Pepcid available in case there's older members of your family that are in their 60s and 70s and 80s that might need to take it. So I would not stay on it nonstop throughout the entire pandemic. I just wait until you thought that you were exposed.
Well, Mark, you've brought us a lot of great breaking news, truth just below the surface today in this program, and we'll have another program next week. Is there anything else up to this point of our discussion that you think has not been clarified or that you have some question about wanting to say something else about?
You know, I want everyone in the audience to know, technically, I'm not licensed in their state. I'm licensed in 2 states, but this goes around the world. The best thing to do is do exactly what my family did. My family knows my education. They've seen me practice medicine. When my family saw me inoculate myself, my family said to themselves, that was easy enough. My family knew that they were going to be exposed. And so my family said, you know, that sounds easy enough for me. And they decided to inoculate themselves. Learn from the experience of others. Get your physician involved in our websites and studying them. www.digestivecovid.com and www.antivirusair.com. They will see on those 2 websites scientific data that they're not exposed to in the mainstream. And when your physician does it, guess what? His family will probably do it too. And if his family does it and you hear about it, guess what? You can jump on the bandwagon. Don't be afraid to eat food at Thanksgiving that was made by people who were exhaling virus all over it. It's not the virus you eat that makes you sick. It's the virus you inhale to your alveolus. And if you just eat it, you are going to do just fine. Does that make sense?
Wow. Okay. This is great information, Wynn, and great show. Again, go to RevWynnHendersonMD.com for more information. And then also check you out on Lipson as well, right, Wynn?
Absolutely. That's important to go to that podcast and to subscribe to it. Of course, you know, it's free. And then you will get the latest information, the breaking news on this and other problems that you have in your life. And it's been a blessing for me to find you, Neil, that can promote this to over 150 markets around the United States, and for people like Dr. Mark Hayden, who know the truth and are willing to say the truth. And so I'm just blessed to be in this situation. And
Neil?
Yes, sir.
Can you ask what your listeners can do too is they can ask their congressman and their senator to study those two scientific websites. And they can ask their senator to ask Fauci in plain English, have intramuscular vaccines ever been proven to protect the lungs? And if he can't give an honest answer to that, that's tragic. And then they can ask their senator to say, get us an oral vaccine that we can take as a capsule that's not going to have the side effects, that's going to provide immune experience and immune development for our intestine without the side effects of the intramuscular vaccines. They need to demand that. And if they don't get that, then they can resort to their own solutions. And I appreciate you having this show, Neil.
Hey, you know, it's exciting, and we just keep picking up new markets every day all over the world. A station in the UK is hearing this too, so everyone in the world's hearing what the United States is going through, and I appreciate both of you, and I appreciate this segment. So, guys, take care.
And Neil, as a disclaimer, always speak to your physician about anything medical.
Oh, absolutely. You have to.
Always follow your doctor's advice. Just because your physician is supposed to be your best friend, your advisor, your trusted advisor. He's your best source of information. And right. Thanks for your time, Neil.
All right, guys. Okay, that was Truth Just Below the Surface, Freedom from Addiction, and the Neil Haley Show simulcast. Take care.